News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Here we go, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8.07 on Mobile Mornings. Talk with Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, here in just a moment.
Yeah, and one of the things we're going to discuss, among several things here, is the rise of the far left. And when AOC is considered a moderate in whatever circle you're standing in, you know that you're left-wing. And these Democratic Socialists of America candidates seem to be taking over in different parts of this country. And a couple stories I wanted to bring up before we bring Quinn on. I've been paying more attention to this Senate race, this Democrat Senate primary in Michigan. And while it looks like the Republican that'll be running against one of these two candidates has a fairly good chance to win that Senate seat.
I hope so.
You have Congresswoman Haley Stevens, who is a 2026 party line Democrat, but not considered a Democratic Socialist. The person she's running against in that primary is, his name is Abdul El Said, and he's drawing some criticism now for saying the progressive movement could, quote, put one ogre on a pike by defeating Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman in a future primary. You could see what he was kind of getting at there, basically calling Fetterman Shrek or an ogre, and then kind of a violent kind of way to put one ogre on a pike. His campaign says the remark was clearly metaphorical and referred to challenging Fetterman politically, not with violence. Okay. Democratic critics called the language violent and irresponsible. Fetterman responded with a jab and handled it well. He said he would rather be Senator Shrek than the Pontiac Plattner. But right now, El Said looks like about a 2-1 favorite over this congresswoman to win that primary. Also making the news, the national co-chair of the Democratic Socialists of America confirmed on Fox News that the organization does support eliminating several major American institutions.
I mean, just coming out and are they doing us a favor by just coming out and stating it?
Perhaps. You have the co-chair Megan Romer on with, I believe, Shannon Bream on Fox News, asked to answer yes or no to Bream's questions on Fox News Sunday. Here's what it sounded like.
So we're going to put up on the screen a few of the things that are part of your platform. And I want to ask you, just give me sort of a true or false on these. Abolish the Senate.
True.
Okay. Replace the presidency and Supreme Court as we now know them.
Yep.
Abolish ICE.
Absolutely.
Abolish borders and give amnesty to anyone currently in the U.S. illegally.
As a long-term plan, yep.
Defund the Pentagon.
Absolutely.
Abolish prisons, at least in large part.
Yeah, again, that as part of a long-term program, yeah.
Okay, so no prisons. Government or public ownership of most large corporations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't that sound like heaven? I'm sure Quinn Hillier has some thoughts on
it's insane.
The rise of this political movement. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're good.
Yeah, so we're all right.
Your thoughts on this? We saw the success of these DSA candidates with the Mamdani endorsement and Bernie Sanders endorsement in New York, and it's spreading. Maybe Michigan, the next place where it really takes root. What are you thinking about all this?
I'm very disturbed. Look, I've always been, and some Republicans, some conservatives don't agree with me on this, but I've always been of the position that we want both parties to be as responsible as possible. So rather than wanting Democrats who I think are easier to beat, I would rather have Democrats nominated who, if they win, at least will be somewhat responsible. And then our job is to, as conservatives, is still to beat them. But if you don't beat them, you don't have, you know, an absolute disaster. In this case, the Democratic Party is moving so far left. Let me just put this to you. El Said, who you talked about in Michigan, is considered the radical, and so therefore his opponent, Haley, whatever her name is, Stevens, the media is calling her a moderate.
Right.
Her lifetime, so she's been in Congress, her lifetime conservative rating is 1 out of 100.
Just
not 1 out of 10, not 1 out of 2, 1 out of 100. So that that is that in past years would have put her the absolute leftmost. I mean, you know, every couple of years there's 1-0 out there, okay? But basically most Democrats usually used to be between 15 and 25, or between 10 and 25 on the conservative scale, and, you know, between 80 and 90 on the liberal scale. You know, these are various interest group ratings. Instead, the moderate in this race is a radical, which tells you just how radical Al Said is. But in terms of this Romer lady who was on Shannon Bream, the head of the, or the co-chair of the Democratic Socialists of America, what she is talking about, what most of these candidates are talking about, is completely getting rid of the Constitution, completely changing America from a land whose first, or from a government whose first priority is to secure these rights.
Right.
It is a government as a mandator of everything in our lives, rather than a governor as a protector of our freedom. And so all those things she wants to abolish the U.S. Senate. I mean, you know, that's about as radical as you can get. Replace the presidency and the Supreme Court as we now know them. Yep. Abolish borders. Give amnesty to anyone currently in the U.S. illegally, and so on. You heard it.
Close the prisons.
Outrage, and it's scary.
Yeah, no prisons, no jails, all that. You know, she said that's a couple of those things were part of a long-term plan.
Yeah, they're not just going to rip the Band-Aid off immediately.
No. What? Slowly close all the prisons and make any adjustments. And you talk about responsible. You would like both Democrats and Republicans to at least be responsible because, you know, one or the other could get elected. They're just outright telling us they're going to be responsible for tearing down the entire government as we know it. Quinn, that's insanity.
Tearing down the Constitution, tearing down they want to tear down American society. I mean, the National Review and others have done a listing of all the absolutely scary, wacky things that, I mean, there's one of these candidates that got the nomination for, I think it was a House race in Colorado. There's, of course, several of them in New York. Al Said in Michigan. I mean, he and so many others are not just sort of against Israel's foreign policy, but they are radically anti-Semitic. He of course, blames he blames AIPAC for the war in Iran, which he called genocidal. He agreed with a guy. He went on some guy's TV or radio show, a guy who said that the United States deserved the 9/11 attacks. And then Al Said sort of nodded in agreement, and later he said, no, that was taken out of context. Well, what kind of context can you possibly put around the U.S. deserved the 9/11 attack?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a radical Muslim and a radical socialist, and so are two of the other people, I believe, in New York.
And so we're at the point now where you have Zoran Mamdani, who's going to attend 9/11 ceremonies and, I guess, host, as however the mayor normally does that annually, even with thousands and thousands signing a petition asking him not to be there after his comments during his campaign about the global intifada or whatever that was.
Yeah.
He's going to be there anyway. But I wonder, too, if this term, Democratic Socialist, I mean, I'm sure it's been around, but really Bernie Sanders is the one who kind of took that mantle. And I wonder if that wasn't he's been in government for so long and at times comes off, you know, normal, but only at times. There's so many things that Bernie Sanders has stood for that are considered so extremely far left. But he would always say when asked, you know, so you're a socialist. No, I'm a Democratic socialist. There's a difference. Well, now look at the party that he's kind of considered the standard bearer of, if not, he's not really in charge anymore because of his age, it doesn't seem. But he's endorsing all of these candidates.
He's endorsing all these candidates, and so are, you know, some of the their most radical, horrible people like Summer Lee in Pennsylvania, like Jasmine Crockett in Texas. They are all endorsing these crazy left people. But what's really scary is that even the supposedly non crazy left Democrats have moved way left, most of them, as a response to this. So that what used to be sort of liberal but within bounds now would be called centrist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
though it's nowhere near the center of the actual American public's belief, but the media labels these far left people as centrists, and yet that is the heart of where the National Democratic Party is today.
So what's the media going to do? What's the media's response to all of this? We know what's happening on Fox News, but I'm talking about NBC, 60 Minutes on CBS. I mean, there's got to be some sort of an accountability. And when it comes to Sanders, I understand that he's endorsing these candidates. Is he on record of endorsing these ideas and policies they're talking about? Has he gone that far?
By endorsing these candidates,
I guess he has.
When he does it again and again and again, then
answers the question.
That answers the question. But what's scary, though, is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The media is now starting to portray her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she was 6 years ago the single most radical imaginable person, other than than Rashid Tlaib. But basically, she was the definition of radical for the Democratic Party. Now they're trying to portray her as a thoughtful, more moderate than these other people that are now getting the nominations. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely crazy.
It's crazy.
Well, and two, is this big push coming from a lot of Democrats because of the anti-Israel sentiment that's going around? And despite being a party-line Democrat and more far left than most people would be okay with, his opponent in that race, Haley Stevens, she is, for at least that part, pro-Israel. That seems to be what's doing her some damage here.
Yeah.
Well, the fault line on the left, and I've got to say there's also a fault line on the right about this, is Israel. The Democratic Party used to be very pro-Israel, sort of the mainstream of the Democratic Party, and then it became mildly anti-Israel, but they still, made noises about, well, we support their right to exist, et cetera, et cetera. Now there are very few Democrats who will openly speak up, not just in favor of Israel's current foreign policy, but in favor of Israel's basic position over there as being a beacon of democracy and a beacon of freedom. They won't even say that, and they make all these, not just anti-Israel, but anti-Jewish statements and talk about genocide and all this kind of stuff, as if Israel is doing the genocide rather than Israel being surrounded by people who literally say they want to wipe Israel from the face of the earth.
It's just becoming so commonplace for the rhetoric and for the talk about Israel and Jewish people to just be out there and, I'm going to tell you what I want to say, and so I'm going to say it. And it's amazing because Jewish people have forever been voting Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
They've been big supporters of the...
On economics and on some social issues,
right.
The majority of Jews are old-line liberal.
Right.
Old-line, not radical left, but they're old-line liberal. and so they used to vote for the Democratic Party, and now they're reassessing, because the Democrats have become very anti-Israel, and in a lot of circumstances, you know, bordering on just flat-out anti-Semitic. Now, none of which is to say that the right doesn't have its problems. For any listener saying, oh, well, you know, wanting to me to do the both sides or what about is, I mean, you've heard me criticize the right a million times, but this is really scary on the left center, on the Democratic side. Everything left of center is now way left of center, with a few exceptions like Fetterman.
Well, are Democrats also trying to take up the mantle as the anti-data center party going into these elections coming up?
That
we're going to take a quick break, very quick, and then we'll get back with Quinn and talk about that and more on the way right here on Mobile Mornings.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Quinn, I know you wrote a piece about FEMA, even though it's been a quiet hurricane season. Tell us what that's all about.
Okay, so, I mean, I could go on a lot longer about this, but basically, a year ago, President Trump wanted to abolish FEMA, and he had an acting FEMA administrator who went before Congress and said, no, FEMA might need reform, but it should not be abolished, and he was fired the next day in the name of Cameron Hamilton. Well, of course, he was right that there are some storms that are so bad that no matter what the states do, the states cannot manage the storms themselves because their very management response is wiped out by the storm. That's what disasters do. And lo and behold, Trump did the right thing. He appointed a review committee. The review committee came out with good recommendations to reform but not kill FEMA. And lo and behold, they have now put this guy, Cameron Hamilton, back up for the full-time administrator position, and he just passed a Senate committee, and it shows that you can stick by your principles like Cameron Hamilton did, say what the right thing is, and be willing to risk your career, and it doesn't end up killing your career. It's a sign for other people you need to stick by your principles. It's also a sign that President Trump did not go through with a bad idea, but actually listened to good advice. So this is good for us on the Gulf Coast to have somebody who wants to reform FEMA but not end it.
Yeah, and for Trump to put Hamilton back up for that position, that's interesting too, as you pointed out.
Exactly.
This data center thing, and I don't know if the gubernatorial will end up being close between Doug Jones and Tommy Tuberville. Tuberville clearly a pretty heavy favorite and will continue to be so. But I think this data center thing could make it a little more interesting, because after Governor Kathy Hochul was the first to lead the charge in New York, putting a one-year moratorium on these data centers. Now, Doug Jones and a lot of other Democrats are calling for the same thing. But what's different in this race is Tommy Tuberville has come out just as explicitly as President Trump, saying data centers could be a cash cow, and we're going to bring as many of them into Alabama as we can. Your thoughts on what that might mean for this race going forward?
Okay, that's just political analysis. I'm not going to speak pro or against data centers, but the public opinion on this is cross-cutting, and you have a lot of Republican leaners who do not want these data centers, and there are all sorts of reasons why not. And yes, this could make the race closer. Look, Doug Jones does not have much of a chance against Tuberville. You're right, Tuberville's a big favorite. But the enthusiasm gap is on the Democrat side nationwide, which pulls Doug Jones closer if the turnout is better among Democrats than Republicans. And then if Tuberville stays on this pro-data center position, it could mess up things so much that it pulls Doug Jones closer. And so it bears watching, because Doug Jones is really pounding on this. And if there's an Achilles heel politically for Tuberville, it is indeed that.
That's kind of the sentiment I've seen and heard, that many, you know, people that would are probably and have been MAGA voters, or at least conservatives who've voted Republican most of the time. I'm seeing a lot of people with some serious hesitancy for these data centers, especially if they're putting one in their community.
Dalton, do you think that if Tuberville softened his stance a little bit publicly, it kind of didn't detract it altogether, but just softened it in a way, would that change some of those minds?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I guess it would depend on how he changed his rhetoric regarding the whole thing.
With the messages.
Look, the thought is, is that the data centers, one way or another, will end up jacking up all of our energy prices because they'll put so much pressure on the grid and so much demand out there. That's the worry on the right and the left. Whether true or not, I don't know. I'm not speaking against the data centers, but that's why a lot of conservatives or Republican or MAGA people are worried about these things, and they are Tuberville's voters.
And, Quinn, that's going to wrap it up. Tell everybody where they can read what you write all the time.
Go to QuinnHillier.com and subscribe for free, or just Google QuinnHillier and NOLA.com, N-O-L-A, and you get most of my stuff there in the Louisiana newspapers.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Saints football around the corner, Quinn. Get ready.
Yes, indeed. Go Saints.
Get your tickets in hand. It's Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, and we have plenty of texts to get to on the other side, 251-343-0106. Plus, I don't want to spend too much time on the data centers, but yesterday I mentioned the difference in China and the U.S. in that race to have the most or largest data centers. I pulled the stats, and I want to mention those here in just a few minutes.
Let's do it.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Owig.
Oh, yeah. It's 8:35 now. Mobile Mornings. We'll come to the text line and phones if you'd like to call in. 251-343-0106. But first off, want to talk to our good buddy Scooter Greenhill over at Capital Tractor, and they have a lot going on as per usual. Hey, good morning, Scooter.
Morning. How are y'all?
We are doing just fine, and only one thing could make it better, and that would be picking up some new equipment at Capital Tractor. And right now is a great time to get to that new location or any of the other Capital Tractor locations across the state, because you have the summer sell-off for mowers going on, but only for a few more days.
Yeah, we've only got four more days of that summer sell-off sale. There's up to $2,000 off on select mowers if you needing a good mower for your landscaping crew or for your house, need to get here by Friday for the best deals.
Yeah, and you have quite the selection of mowers, and if you look hard enough, but you have to do it safely, you can see it from the interstate as you drive by that new location there in Tillman's Corner. Also, no, fall will be here before we know it. Some are hoping it gets here a little sooner than it should with this weather, but we'll be seeing hay bales out there for that. But right now is when that important work is going on and cutting and baling, and you guys have plenty of great equipment to help with that on the farm, some Vermeer products and parts. Tell us about those, Scooter.
We do. We're a full-line Vermeer dealer for the hay and forage side, and we've also got the Kubota line of hay equipment. And we keep a fully stocked parts department, so we've got your disc mower blades and your net wrap in stock. We've got most of your consumables and bearings. We can keep your hay equipment running for the remainder of the summer.
Yeah, you sure can. You can keep any of that equipment running because your service department is top-notch. And every time I pull through, I see somebody getting something worked on, and they keep coming back for a reason. Tell us about some of the other products. I know that people are coming by and purchasing all the time. You got the skid steers, plenty of tractors, the implements to go with them, and you already mentioned the mowers.
Yeah, I mean, we're a full-line dealer, so we've got everything from Echo weed eaters up to an 8-ton excavator and tractors from 18 horse up to a 130 horsepower, so we've got everything to cover just about every aspect of everybody's needs.
Yeah, you sure do, and you're easy to find as well. You'll see Scooter in there in the lobby when you make it by. It's the new Capital Tractor store on Fellowship Drive. They're behind the VA hospital in Tillman's Corner, but like I said, you can see it from the interstate. Super easy to get to, and do it soon before that summer sell-off ends at the end of this month. Thanks for your time this morning, Scooter.
Thank you all. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. There you go. Scooter Greenhill with Capital Tractor. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. And, you know, I know we've been talking a lot of data centers.
Yeah, in particular yesterday. I think it was right at this time, too. So we'll, if you listen every day at this time, maybe a continuation of that conversation. Yesterday, you were talking about data centers and the classification of the larger ones, like the one that's going to be in North Mobile County, the numbers of overall data centers in China as opposed to the U.S., and if you're in favor of data centers, or if you're in favor of beating China at something, maybe you're not in favor of data centers. But anyway, the numbers seem to favor the United States at this point. Can you break that down?
Yeah, so we've talked so much about these data centers, and I think the reason I'm talking, well, I know the reason I'm talking about it so much is because this is one of those things, along with AI in general, as it continues to become more ubiquitous, I think this is a big enough subject that it will cut across party lines and could reshape both parties. Now, as far as the rest of the Democrat leanings on social and political issues and Republican leanings on social and political issues, I don't know how much those will change. I think those are pretty set in stone. But for the data centers, you can clearly see these two parties taking different routes as a whole, just generally. Now, you have some one-offs, and more than that, but plenty of Republicans who have shown hesitancy into bringing those into their communities because their constituents are so nervous about them.
Right. They're just reacting to the people who vote them in.
And then the party leadership we've seen, and I don't know if every single one of them, I don't know what Thune's thoughts are on data centers. I don't know what Mike Johnson thinks about them. I know what Trump thinks about them, and I know what Tuberville thinks about them. And many are going to take their cue from them as they run for these midterms. Same thing on the Democrat side. I don't know if Kathy Hochul is the most popular Democrat. I actually don't think she is for sure. But kind of like we were talking about with Haley Stevens in Michigan, she's a 2026 party line Democrat, meaning she votes with the Democrats pretty much all of the time. But then when you juxtapose them, like we were talking about with Quinn, to someone who's way far left, Democrat Socialist of America, or even further beyond that, if that's possible, and it is, then they start to look a little normal. Well, it seems like Democrats are taking their cues from Hochul, and that her policy to place a one-year moratorium for the entire state of New York on data center expansion seems to be a popular one. And Doug Jones, I mean, the day after that happened, he was already proposing that for Alabama on the campaign trail. Yesterday, when Doug Jones spoke again, I believe he was, let's see, where was he yesterday? He was speaking before a crowd and casting his vision for Alabama, pitched a platform, and he kind of tied Tuberville to the Montgomery swamp. Like, it's all this hidden political power class there, which I'm not saying he's wrong, but I don't know if I would classify Tuberville as necessarily being one among those that have been running Montgomery for as long as they have. But Jones is tying him to that, and also tying in this data center statement that he made to that as well, just saying, hey, listen, Alabama Power is just going to steamroll whatever it is that the constituents in the state want so that they and some of these other big tech companies can get what they want in the form of more data centers.
Which could mean a lot of money for Alabama Power, obviously. I mean, they're not for it if there's reasons that Alabama Power or entities like that, big powerful entities, would be for it. It's all for profit.
Right.
If they smell a profit there or much, much more, like a large windfall, they'll be all in. And also, so Alabama Power, like, they're not powerful enough. Let's wait on an official statement from them. Have we really gotten one?
They had a statement just recently, but it was in regards to Trump's speech last week on data centers, where he was really pushing for them.
Yeah.
But then he was also calling for some consumer protection. And by consumers, I don't mean consumers of the data that is being stored in data centers, but power, energy consumers, and protecting them from paying extra to keep these data centers and things like that running.
And
Alabama Power came out and said, yeah, we've already put a two-year rate freeze in, and we're going to do just what you and Governor Ivey have said. We're going to protect these consumers. Now, whether they truly mean that and how it'll all work out in the end, I have no idea.
Oh, I've got an idea. No. So, I mean, no. If they've got a jack rate.
You don't think Alabama Power has your best interests in mind?
I mean, they keep the lights on. They allow me to have electricity. I guess that they're looking out for me, old Dan, pretty well. But the thing about it is the safer play here really is what Hochul's doing, because it's people are concerned, again, about things they don't understand enough.
Mm-hmm.
Hochul is taking the safe approach, or Democrats are. Let's wait and see. They're not saying, I'm against data centers. That's an easier play. Let's wait and see. Let's be a little more cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Trump, not speaking for the Republican National Party, by the way, so again, what's the Republican National Committee? What would they say?
Yeah.
Or other Republicans who are facing pushback from their constituents? Trump is speaking like he's the guy in charge, and he is. He's president. At the same time, I don't think all Republicans necessarily have got to fall in place if they're thinking that this is a... This isn't a puddle.
A problem for them.
It could be like a waterfall. Like, it could be a real problem, especially in some districts.
Yeah, right? And I'm thinking more of these districts that are considered toss-ups.
Yeah.
Or even a little more, a little less than a toss-up, but something that could swing based on the sentiment of any given district or state. If those are close races and 8% swing because of the data center issue or less, that could have a big effect. So, the argument that we hear, though, from the Trump administration, and let me say, too, with the whole data center discussion, and you mentioned a lot of people are concerned about this and they just don't know enough about data centers to feel comfortable with one in their community.
Yeah.
There are plenty of anti-data center people who would argue the opposite, and that so many people who aren't necessarily for restricting data centers don't know enough about it, and that they don't know how dangerous these can be. I like everything and somewhere in the middle, although I will say I'm a little closer towards the side of I don't think that data centers would be the worst thing in the world for a property, a very rural property that may have become industry anyway or some other kind of, you know, place that affects the ecological environment around it even more than a data center. As far as the data that they're holding and then this whole flock camera thing that everyone – there are some concerns around that in Big Brother. But I'm generally on the side of I don't think that the data centers are going to wipe out an entire ecosystem the way that some other things could.
Well, but you can definitely have you can get that story sold to you if you want to hear that story that's the way it's all going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
You can find that narrative out there.
Definitely.
So with that in mind, it's like there's this the one thing about all of this is there is a fear. And when you're dealing with an issue where there's actual fear involved, not mm-hmm. just a political position one way or the other, where people are fearful of possible consequences, that's, you know, when emotion is involved like
yeah.
that, that's where you if you're on the wrong side, you could have a real problem.
You're right. They can swing some big numbers. So as we try to kind of parse the facts from just maybe the propaganda out there, if that's the right word to use, you know, a big argument that you'll hear is we're trying to beat China, and Dan
right.
mentioned it earlier, and that China, depending on who you hear it from, they're either kicking our butts at data center expansion or we're neck and neck, and maybe that'll be the case soon, but I read a tweet yesterday, and I was remembering a tweet that I read.
Yeah, these are the numbers.
And then as I said it out loud, I was like, I don't know if that sounds right, but the facts here, U.S. versus China for physical data center facilities, total tracked data centers for all of the U.S. and then all of China. And keep in mind, China has a pretty tight lid on things that they don't want to get out, so who knows if these are the accurate numbers. But this says for total tracked data centers, the U.S. currently has between 4,000 and 5,500. So between 4,000 and 5,500 data centers. I've heard somewhere closer to 6,000, but we'll go with these numbers here. China reportedly has between 369 and 449 data centers. I think that's a good 10 to 1 or 12 to 1.
Yeah, about 12 to 1.
Ratio there that the U.S. is over China for total data centers. Now, hyperscale data centers, which are just the massive, like, look like Amazon warehouses or maybe even larger.
So is that what we're talking about in North Mobile County?
I believe that Calvert one that's projected would be considered a hyperscale data center.
Okay.
The U.S. has 642 of those, which would make up 54% of the total globally. So 642, more than half of the hyperscale data centers that are around the world are already located in the United States.
Okay.
China's a little closer on that ratio. They have 190 hyperscale data centers, which is 16% of the global total share. As far as power consumption, and I don't know if this is entire power consumption or global capacity share. So this must mean total share of power being consumed by data centers. The U.S. currently makes up 45% of power consumption for data centers. China is at 25%. And then projected spending for this year, when you combine all of how much big tech wants to pour into these data centers that they are either building or leasing from other companies, $630 billion projected to be spent in 2026 on data centers in the U.S. And according to China's National Infrastructure Plan, which again, they could be keeping a lot of things secret here, they're spending $295 billion on it annually. So as things stand now, the U.S. has taken a they have the early clubhouse lead, as it's said in golf, and China doing their best to catch up. But when you hear that whole argument that this is all about China, I mean, sure, but we're beating them pretty badly right now. Do we have the time as a country to maybe slow this down, or are we at such a scale of tech innovation right now that the only way to stay ahead is to put the gas on them?
Yeah, so we're being scared both ways, right? People are concerned. They're emotional and concerned about the possibility of what does this mean? What's the ecological
impact,
impact from all of this? What's it going to do to property values? What's the data that they're saving, right? So you have that concern. But then the other squeeze is, look, if we don't, we're going to pay in the end when China's got the technology over us, and what will they do with it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that pretty much, those are the two arguments right there, right?
Yeah.
And both sides using emotion against you.
Yep.
And then, you know, we're depending on a Congress that is incredibly volatile and will separate on party lines just to do that alone. So many people might not even feel the way they do about these data centers, but if the top Democrats are telling them to feel one way or the top Republicans are telling them to feel another, that's the party line they're going to take.
All very interesting and all kind of brand new, you know, just a brand new situation that two or three years ago really didn't see it coming. It's Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a few showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures will be in the upper 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a few showers and thunderstorms and high temperatures in the upper 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority. Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, and just like Jeff, our big voice man there, said, text in traffic information. That's what Tim did here from Foley. He says there's a huge fire on 181 just south of Allegri. Huge fire on 181. Road may be blocked. Thank you so much. Yeah, we'll try to get more on that throughout the rest of the morning. And we'll get that info to April Marie Fogel once we get it so she can broadcast it as well.
Okay. Another Tim says, are any of the data centers in the U.S. owned by Chinese companies? That's a good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I don't have the answer for you, Tim. I would imagine that they have a hand in some of it, at least, or have tried to.
King of all named, of all
unnamed texters.
Unnamed texters, yeah. I don't do the text line too often. He says, I wonder why a data center can't make its own electricity. Again, a question I'm not even going to attempt to answer, but thanks for the text.
It would require a lot of it, but do like the idea, and I don't know how efficient it is or whether it handles it, but putting solar panels on top of those data centers, like you talk about these hyperscale facilities that are so massive, they can at least cut some of that out with solar, I would think, and solar on property. Maybe there's a reason they can't do that, or maybe they are, and it still just isn't enough. Let's see. Martin says, China may be playing us by letting us take the lead on these data centers, knowing they'll steal it all from us later, like they do everything. And that's been the discussion around AI. Dan and I were talking about that earlier this morning, that for a while there, it seemed like China had the lead on AI. But then once we really, once our tech companies really made it an issue and made it
a priority,
their overriding number one goal, then we really took off. And whether it's Anthropic or
it's NVIDIA.
Yeah, NVIDIA does the chips. But you have, of course, Meta wants in on it. Apple wants in on it. Every big tech company has something going on in the world of AI. And China seems to have recently started catching up, but a big reason behind that is allegedly stolen IP. Mm-hmm. They're stealing from these AI companies who have made such strides, just like they have with every single thing we've seen.
Looks like Martin's very aware of that. Like, go ahead and take the lead if you like, because we're eventually going to have all that information in our back pocket anyway.
Michael says, data centers will have nearly zero impact on the elections when compared to the war with Iran for Israel and the subsequent unaffordability. Maybe you're right, Michael. Maybe you're right. But, and affordability, yeah, that does usually take the cake on every election. But the Iran war, at least for our listeners, when we bring up data centers, the text line fills up and fills up quickly. When we're talking about the Iran war, there are very few texts in comparison to the data center text. I think it's something that's a little easier to have a strong opinion on for many people. They'll talk about it, you know, with their family and friends and pick one side or the other. The Iran war is almost untouchable in some cases.
Yeah, the Iran war, I think there's a little bit of, you know, just kind of exhausted with the whole thing, with the back and forth.
Yeah.
Whereas this data center thing looks like it's the hot topic right now.
Sure seems that way. 8:58 coming up, April Marie Fogel. She is guest hosting for the Jeff Poor Show, and we'll be back and do it all again tomorrow morning. Mobile Mornings begins at 6, and keep those texts going, 251-343-0106.